This is the Everything Financial Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Dennis Tubergen. Welcome. Thanks for tuning in. I have a really, really special guest this week. Mr. Jim Rogers will be joining me on the podcast this week. Jim, actually, I caught up with this past week and recorded a conversation with him from his home in Singapore. Jim is a frequent commentator on markets. He's a prolific author. Also, the creator of the Rogers Commodity Fund Index. He is also he's the former co-founder. He did co-found the Quantum Fund with George Soros. So terrific to have Jim on the program this week. Very flattering to have him here. I'll get to my conversation with him momentarily. On this week's podcast, I'll be talking about winter season updates. If you've been a longtime listener to the podcast, you know that we believe economies move in cycles, as does money, and we think we're seeing the beginning of many of these rather significant winter season symptoms. I'll get into those as the program progresses today and on the second podcast this week as well. Quick reminder, if you're not yet a subscriber to my free weekly market update, you can subscribe to the newsletter Portfolio Watch. It gets delivered to your email after market close every Monday. You can subscribe by visiting the website, yourretirementoutlook.com. Just give us your name and email address. We'll be glad to put you on our list. Again, the website, yourretirementoutlook.com. I'm very pleased to have back on the program today a guest who really needs no introduction, Mr. Jim Rogers, who's the author of Street Smarts, Adventures on the Road and in the Markets. Jim is a returning guest to the program. He appeared about a year and a half ago. And Jim, welcome back on the program.
I'm delighted to be here. Delighted to be here, Dennis. Thanks.
Jim, tell the listeners about your book.
I've done a few books, Dennis. I never thought I'd do any books. And my publisher and agent said, why don't you pull it all together? You've done books about adventure and other things. So why don't you put it together how somebody got from the backwoods of Alabama to living in Asia and all the stuff that happened along the way. So I did. I guess it's a memoir as much as anything else. But like most of the things I try to do, I wanted to make observations on the rest of the world and what's going on out there, because there's a lot of stuff that has gone on and will continue to go on.
Well, Jim, let's talk a bit about your forecast for the stock market. I recently read an article where you were quoted as saying that the Federal Reserve might try to save the stock market one more time by printing money. So my question is, are you expecting a stock market decline, and to what extent? And if the Fed were to pursue that strategy, can they possibly be successful?
Well, first of all, we've had a bit of a stock market decline here recently, and I'm certain sometime in our lifetimes there are going to be stock market declines. We've had economic problems in the U.S. every 4 to 7 years since the beginning of the Republic, so I'm sure we're going to continue to have problems like that. It's not the end of the world. Happen all the time. They've always happened throughout history, and we're going to see them happen again. So, yes. But more immediately, I would expect, it was 4 or 5 years without even a 10% correction in the U.S. stock market. I mean, that's an amazing anomaly, because markets are correcting 10, 20% all the time, year after year. And yet we went a long time based on a lot of artificial money printing by all the major central banks of the world. So that's going to come to an end. Someday, and when it comes to an end, we're all going to suffer. My point was that the first time we start suffering, or once we start suffering a bit, let's say it goes down, I don't know, 16%, or you pick the number, everybody's going to call the central bank. But the central banks around the world pleading and saying, you must save civilization. The central banks are going to panic. You know, they're just bureaucrats and academics, and so they will start doing something to save us. Looks like they may have already started doing something to save us. You know, the market went down a while, and then central bank, certainly the Federal Reserve, started talking about, oh, maybe we shouldn't do anything. I don't know what's going to happen, but somewhere along the line, they're going to panic and do something, whatever it is. That will probably be the last rally. We may have already seen it, for all I know, But after that, Dennis, we should all be knowledgeable, we should be worried, and we should be prepared.
So, Jim, I've talked to many guests who are predicting a significant decline in the market, not unlike what we saw maybe in 2008 due to all the artificial stimulus that the markets have received from the central banks around the world. Would you be in that same school of thought?
Well, no, of course. I mean, I don't know how anybody could not be in that school of thought. You know, we had a big problem in 2008 because of a huge debt increase. Well, since 2008, the debt has gone up many, many times. The Federal Reserve alone has expanded its balance sheet from $800 billion of bonds to almost $5 trillion of bonds and garbage now. So that alone shows the extent of all the debt increase. The federal government's budget, Portugal, Italy, France, you name Japan, you name it. There's been a huge increase in debt everywhere, and we're going to have to pay the price because this time it's not just debt. It's also huge money printing.
So, Jim, how will our average listener out there trying to manage maybe a 401k or an IRA or other retirement account, how will they be affected?
Well, if you're invested in the wrong thing, you're going to lose a lot of money. We all are, all of us who are invested in the wrong thing. And when I say the wrong thing, stocks that are going to be vulnerable. The way to protect yourself, Dennis, is anytime you're an investor, the only way that one should invest is stay with what one knows. Everybody listening to this knows a lot about fashion or cars or sports or something. Just invest in what you yourself know a whole lot about. And yes, there'll be times in the market when they go down, but at least you know what you're doing and you're in companies that will survive and thrive. That's how you should invest. If I told you that you could only have 20 investments in your whole life, you'd be very careful about what you invested in. But most people, including me at times, jump around listening to hot tips. We listen to the internet or the radio or the TV or who knows what. And we wind up in things we don't know what we're doing, including me, I assure you. So the key is to stay with what you know.
So, Jim, let me ask you, going back to the Federal Reserve again, trying to get the market to rally one more time, do they have any bullets left in the gun? Interest rates have been at 0% for the last 7 years. The only tool they have really left would be to print more money. Is that what you expect they'll do?
Well, who knows? You know, these guys are pretty creative. They can come up with all sorts of things, and they have a lot of in money and a lot of power. They can put on exchange. I mean, the things that people can do, I'm not suggesting it's going to happen this time, but in the past, people put on exchange controls, or they've made people buy bonds. They've made people buy stocks in some points in history. Why can't the Federal Reserve start buying the Dow Jones Industrial Average? They said they have the power to do that. I would not subscribe that they have the power, but these guys can be as creative as they want because they got a lot of power and a lot of money. It's not good what they're doing. It is not good, I repeat, but that doesn't mean they won't do it.
So, Jim, let's talk about in the time we have left, and if you're just joining us, we have the distinct pleasure of chatting today with Mr. Jim Rogers, author of Street Smarts, Adventures on the Road and in the Markets. Jim, are you seeing any areas of opportunity out there, and could you expand on what you're seeing?
Well, that's a very good question, Dennis. For the most part right now, I'm not. I'm watching for the reasons we've been discussing. I do have a few shorts, not nearly as many as I should. If things are going to go down, people shouldn't. I have shorted a few junk bonds in the U.S. Because interest rates will be going higher eventually. And junk bonds, of course, the spreads between junk bonds and government bonds are close to the narrowest in history. That should widen. And, of course, when we have economic problems again, junk bonds will be suspect. But I bought a couple of countries in Africa recently, just very small positions because they've been beaten down so much. But I'm mainly just watching at the moment because many markets are still very high. The U.S. market's, you know, within 10% of its all-time high, et cetera, et cetera. So and I expect financial problems in the future. But one other place that I put money is the U.S. dollar. It's my largest currency position on the long side. But I'm mainly just watching right now.
So, Jim, what's your rationale on the U.S. dollar? Is it just the proverbial best house in a bad neighborhood?
Well, the U.S. dollar is a terribly flawed currency. It's, with the United States, unfortunately, we're the largest debtor nation in the history of the world, Dennis. No nation in world history has had so much debt, and it's going higher and higher. But many people, when turmoil comes, flee to what they think is a safe haven. The U.S. dollar has been and still is perceived as a safe haven. So I put money there. I mean, people are not going to rush into the yen or to the euro or most other currencies you can think of. So people will flee to the U.S. dollar as the turmoil comes and gets more intense. It could even turn into a bubble. If that happens, I hope I'm smart enough to sell a year or two or three from now. What I would do with my money then, I have no idea. But I do hasten to tell you again that the U.S. dollar has got serious, serious, serious problems, and we're all going to suffer, all of us, especially who are Americans, but everybody in the world, going to suffer down the road.
I'll continue my conversation with Mr. Jim Rogers on the next podcast this week. You know, if you've been a longtime listener to the program, you know that we believe that economies cycle, that monies and currencies cycle. In fact, when it comes to economic cycles or economic seasons, we believe that during an autumn season where it seems that prosperity is everywhere, and in the United States that would, and really worldwide, it would describe the period of time from about 1982 through 2000. And if you think about the 90s, you think about a time of extreme prosperity. But behind the scenes during the autumn economic season, as everything seems to be going along very well, debt levels are rising to unsustainable levels. When debt levels reach unsustainable levels, then the winter economic season kicks in and debt has to be purged from the system. As debt is purged from the system, there are a number of ugly deflationary symptoms that occur. Now, I recently updated my book, New Retirement Rules, and as I mentioned at the outset of the program today, that book will be, the updated version of the book will be available here in about 5 weeks. Since that original book was published a little over a year ago, there has been a lot that has happened to validate my position that the winter economic season is indeed upon us. The symptoms of the economic season are escalating, as I predicted in the book, and I believe that the years ahead will find these symptoms becoming significantly more intense. In the last year, since the original publication of my book, New Retirement Rules, just take a look at a few of the things that have happened. Chinese stock markets have collapsed along with the Chinese economy. Banks in Greece have implemented capital controls, limiting cash withdrawals to a minimal amount regardless as to one's actual bank account balance. Inflation in Argentina has reached nearly 40% annually as the country's currency is massively devalued via printing. The too big to fail banks, remember the ones the taxpayers bailed out back during the financial crisis? They now have derivative exposure of more than $278 trillion. And if you're not familiar with a derivative, it's basically a risky side bet between banks. That's an oversimplification, but essentially that describes it. Now, this derivative exposure of more than $278 trillion is an exposure level that is 28 times these banks' total assets. So despite laws designed to prevent another financial crisis, the four largest banks in the country are 40% larger than they were at the time of the financial crisis. If you listened to last week's program, you know that our guest, Mr. Ian Gordon, pointed out that worldwide, debt has increased 40% since the financial crisis to more than $200 trillion. Given these massive debt levels, I believe a much more severe repeat of the financial crisis is all but a certainty. The European Central Bank has embarked on a quantitative easing program. What does that mean? They're printing money. Following the policy footsteps of the United States, Japan, and Britain, the European Central Bank began printing money in an attempt to stave off deflation, which had gripped the European continent. Deflation, incidentally, history teaches us is an inevitable consequence of too much debt. This attempt to right the ship by the European Central Bank will fail, as it has every other time it's been tried historically. Here in the United States, stock markets have begun to break down as I have forecast. Stock markets are extremely volatile, and I believe the stock market highs for the year occurred in May, barring a massive, unprecedented policy response by the Federal Reserve. And even a bold policy move by the Fed may not be enough to prop up U.S. stock markets. Worldwide, you see central banks engaging in currency devaluation in an attempt to gain an export advantage. This race to the bottom, as far as currencies are concerned, will, in my view, again, lead to trade wars and a significant decline in world trade, just like excess tariffs did in the 1930s. You know, if you look at the headline unemployment rate, it looks pretty favorable. But when you look at the labor force participation rate, it's at the lowest level in nearly 40 years, which will be bad news for the economy moving ahead, again, in my view. Oil prices have fallen to the $40 per barrel range as deflation has kicked in. Other commodity prices like copper, iron ore, and aluminum have also fallen by double-digit margins. Now, there are other deteriorating signs that evidence the fact that the economic winter season is upon us and about to deepen, in my view. However, we'll focus only on these economic winter symptoms. If you'd like to learn more about how these economic systems may affect you moving ahead, I'd like to invite you to get a couple different resources. One, we do have an Investor's Discovery Kit that is free. It includes the new Retirement Rules book that I've referenced in this segment today. To get it, all you have to do is go to the website, investingapproach.com. The website, again, is investingapproach.com. Just let us know where to mail the kit, and we'll be glad to do that. The second resource is my weekly newsletter that gives you a market and economic update. It's titled Portfolio Watch, and you can get a free subscription to that newsletter by visiting the website, yourretirementoutlook.com. The website, again, is yourretirementoutlook.com. Just sign up with your name and email address, and remember, we never share your information with anyone. Thanks for listening. Talk to you again in just a few days.